Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Billy.
What is it, Tom?
Kelly Marie's here.
I know, I saw her there just sitting to my left.
How's it going?
It's going so well. I'm so excited to be here.
We've been trying to do this for a while now, Kelly Marie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not saying it so that you apologize.
Well, she's difficult to get hold
very,
of, isn't she?
Very popular person.
Very popular, both professionally and socially.
Yes, pulled in a whole bunch of different directions. But we've probably been doing this podcast now for a couple of years. And I think within the first couple of months, I had said to you, hey, Kelly Marie, we'd love to have you on. And you were like, Great, I'm working. And then another time, I'm working another time. But we got it.
We're here.
I would often say to him, when's Kelly Marie coming on? Because you say that you're good friends. And it doesn't seem that you're good friends.
We are good friends.
Yes. Are you really?
We are good friends. Actually, the hat that Dom is wearing, I also own.
Yeah.
We have matching hats.
Yes.
We're good friends.
Tell me about the hat. Tell me.
Well, the hat is, it's a J.J. Abrams original. So the working title for the Star Wars film that I was in was Trixie, because if you take off the first couple of letters and is it the last two letters, it becomes IX, which is the Roman numerals for 9, obviously. And we were episode 9.
That's the one you were in.
Rise of Skywalker.
Pretty cool.
Kelly Marie was in 2. Is that right, Kelly Marie?
Yes. I was in episode 8 as well.
For people who are not big Star Wars fans, 8 and 9 were made by J.J. Abrams, right?
Correct.
And that was the last ones that were made.
Wait, no. Kelly Marie's going to correct us.
Hold on.
7 and 9. Were
7
JJ.
And 9 were JJ. Episode 8 was Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Who we also love and adore.
Yeah.
Okay. Love, 7. Yeah. And then 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3, George Lucas.
Yep.
4, 5, and 6.
4, George Lucas. 5. Kazadum
Jones.
Hang on, Johnny's
the
coming in.
The well-known director.
It's something like Irwin Kasadian.
Kasdan?
John is a
director of Empire Strikes Back.
I'm truly embarrassed. Movies,
and then he will know this.
While we're preambling, who while we're wasting time, who directed Return of the Jedi?
No idea, absolutely.
I don't know either.
Well, that's
Irvin Kershner.
Irvin Kershner directed Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, Johnny. He's doing
Richard Marquand.
Well, there we go. Now we've done all the movies.
We knew that.
Well, so tell me about that from the start. How did that come about that you found yourself in the Star Wars
universe?
It was a miracle, I guess. I was in LA working as an office assistant and auditioning for a bunch of stuff and not getting a lot of things, but getting close to certain things.
Yeah.
And when I say things, I mean like commercials,
right, yeah.
Or like small parts on sitcoms that I was auditioning for. I would have to go in like twice for like a one-line role. Like it was you know, I very much felt like I was starting out, but at the same time, it took me years to get to the point where I was just auditioning. I'm sure you both know.
Yeah.
So I was sort of just auditioning. I was doing improv with friends at night and like getting into sketch comedy. I was doing some sketches with College Humor at the time. And then I started auditioning for what was being referred to as this untitled Rian Johnson project, which then became Episode 8. And I thought it was like kind of a joke the whole time. I remember being like, oh, this is hilarious. Like, I'll tell my grandkids one day that I auditioned for this thing that I'm absolutely never going to get. Like, it's just insane. Mm. But I was wrong.
But did you know it was Star Wars when it was called The Untitled?
So it was supposed to be this huge secret, but it was pretty easy to like Google what Rian Johnson was working on at the time.
Right.
So I figured it out. But there was not really any sort of information available in terms of like what the movie was about, what the character was like. Everything was so vague.
Yeah. It's a weird thing as an actor, right? That if you have one audition and you don't get it, you're kind of like used to that and you're like, okay, cool, that's just another week. But if you have four or five auditions for the same thing and you start to get invested, it's so much harder to forget that, you know, because you've gone down, I don't know about you, but like if I get to that point, I'm starting to think about how would they walk? How would they take their tea? How would they be in the morning? What are they like when they're drinking? How are they to their mum and dad and stuff? And then you have to just forget all that if you don't get the part.
Yeah,
you
know? It's so, I feel like acting is so unhealthy for that reason. Right? Like it's just, you have no control over your life and you have to sort of, at least for me, I feel like it's been this journey of really trying to protect my creativity and protect the love that I have for the actual act of it. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's just too hard and it's too scary and it's too uncertain. Mm. I'd love to hear what it's been like for both of you, like how you're...
I totally agree. It makes me think of that thing that Bryan Cranston said. Did you see that? Where he's talking about it and he says where it changed in his mind. He said something like, I used to go to audition saying, pick me for this, you know, I want to get this. And then he changed that to, this is what I can offer you. This is, you gave me these lines, I could do this.
Yeah, and it will be good.
And there's what I'm offering. And
that's up to you.
It doesn't matter to me whether you say yes or no. This is what I think from those words. Here's an option.
Oh, great.
And I thought, that's brilliant. Rather than, because if you go in with the, I want this job, you end up not really making a decision on how you're playing the character. You're too busy thinking, what do they want? What would they like? Whereas if you go in saying, this is what I'm doing, if you think that's what you want, then that's great. Yeah, if you don't, then that's great as well.
Maybe you want someone that's 6 foot two. You want something else. There's nothing that I can do about the fact that I'm 5 foot seven and you want someone that's 6 foot two.
That's a really healthy way to approach it, I think.
And Billy and I laugh about this thing all the time, which is such an interesting like examination of actors. A lot of the time, you get a job, you get your script, you get your schedule, and the first thing that you look at in your schedule is, when's my first day off? Like, we spend our entire life like breaking ourselves to get a job, and then you're like, oh, cool, I'm off on Tuesday. That's fantastic. So I've started to really kind of try and change that narrative for me, which is I always wanted to be an actor when I was a kid. I've managed to carve out a career as an actor, and if I'm lucky enough to be going to work, it's my favorite day. Otherwise, you waste months of your life going, oh, I can't wait to finish so that I can go on holiday. And then you go on holiday and you're like, oh, I'd really like to be working. Like, you need to be in that place, enjoying it, you know.
Yeah,
actors are big complainers, right? A group of actors is called a complaint of actors.
And we go off in tangents, you'll notice here. So in case we do go off on tangents, I just want to say I absolutely loved your character in those movies. It was, and I mean this totally truthfully, it's when you see someone in a movie and you're just always wanting the camera to go back to them, that's how I felt about your character. And I think that might be because you were doing improv and all that. Just you talking there, you had that immediacy to your character that I was like, oh, it's exciting every time we go there. And that's a brilliant thing to see on screen, I think.
She's adorable, Rose. She's adorable.
Wonderful really character nice. And you brought so much to life.
Well, there's a lot of characters in the Star Wars universe that are kind of capable, that maybe they're on the dark side or the light side, but they can handle it. You know, like Han Solo can handle it. Luke Skywalker can handle it. Chewbacca. There's not, you know, Darth Vader's kind of tough. They're all like, they're on either sides of the angle, but they're all like, I'm here, I can shoot a weapon, I can get into a fight, I'm fine. And what I loved about what you found with Rose is there's a humanity to her, there's a vulnerability. You're like, oh God, I really hope that she's okay. You know, like you can see that kind of trepidation in your character, you know.
And what's going to
vulnerability.
Happen. Vulnerability and a danger as well, that anything could happen. And that's always kind of, you know, in any acting, that's a brilliant thing.
Your business can't keep waiting for the dream hire to sweep you off your feet. How do you find them right now? You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills. You can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. You hate waiting? Indeed's US data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job.
It can be very intimidating, Millie. You're looking for someone, you've got all these websites open, it's confusing, yes. You don't know where to go. Indeed puts it all in one place. It saves you time. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent all in one spot. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast.
Now, Indeed knows that when you're growing your business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in their database matching your job description.
Visit Indeed.com/onion to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/onion. Indeed.com/onion. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application. Pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire. You need Indeed.
Can we talk about notifications for a second? Mm-hmm. Now, does anybody ever leave those sounds on anymore?
No.
Well, except that kind.
Oh, yeah.
That's another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business.
Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether your thing is vintage teas or recipes for ghee, start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, and grow the followers that keep them coming back. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your businesses keep growing, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, you love TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to the 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content, Shopify's got you every step of the way. It's how every minute new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify, and you will too.
It's fantastic, Shopify. Mm-hmm. As you know, my wife uses it for her business.
Yeah, t-shirts.
Setting it up, easy. It looks brilliant, works great. Shopify makes selling simple so you can put yourself and your ideas out there. Whether your thing is making ebooks or earrings, Shopify makes your success possible.
Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/onion, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/onion to start selling online today. shopify.com/onion.
Now, what about, we do go off on tangents, but let's go back a little bit.
Right.
What about the day when, after all these auditions, your agent calls you and say, you got it? What happened that day? Do you remember?
Yeah, because I was at work. I was at my office job. So the way it worked was I got a call from my agent saying that Ryan Rom, so the writer, director, and producer, wanted to talk to me. And in my mind, I was like, great. It's going to be like one of those pats on the back, like, great job, kid. Maybe next time. Yeah. But they wanted to see me like in person. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go during my lunch break from my office job. And I went to this casting office and I sat there. I remember they had all of these coffee table books on the table. I never read those, but of course that day I was like, I'm so busy. I'm so casually looking at this book. Like, I don't care about anything that's about to happen to me. And I remember Ryan walking in and being like, oh, Kelly, hi. And I was like, oh, I'm just reading this. Hello.
Give me a moment, please.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we went into the casting room and he basically, there was like a little back and forth of talking because we hadn't talked, and I think there was like a month in between every audition because they were looking for people everywhere. And then he said that he wanted to offer me the role. And I remember, okay, this is the moment I feel like I remember as a child, like you dream about what it would be when you were to receive the thing that you think is going to complete your life. And I remember thinking like, oh, there's going to be like celebration and screaming and like just like euphoria. And I remember my first feeling just being like straight out fear. Like I was so terrified. Oh. And I didn't respond for a very long time. Like I just sat there like frozen. And then I just remember there was silence for maybe what felt like an eternity, was probably like a minute. And he goes, so do you want this? And I remember being like, yeah, but I have no idea what I'm doing. And that sort of feeling that you were talking about, Dom, and Billy too, like about Rose and about like the idea that she was working like in this world from a place of like, I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing is very metaphorical to like the experience I was having, because I very much did not come from the world of entertainment at all. And it just was all so new to me.
It's a big galaxy, the Star Wars galaxy. And I think it's important sometimes to have characters that feel a little overwhelmed by where they are in that galaxy. And that's what happens, I think, with Rose, is she becomes in a lot of ways the audience, because they think that's what I would be. I would be in that world with explosions and spaceships and stormtroopers and be like, oh, okay, I'm all right. And that's, you captured that really beautifully.
Well, thanks for saying that. I actually want to talk about Lord of the Rings.
Well, we can definitely talk about
Lord of
the Rings.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. I want to, well, we'll go backwards and forwards because I want to keep talking about Star Wars. But
okay, let's go backwards and forwards. Okay, let's do whatever, however you want to.
What do you want to ask about Lord of the Rings?
I want to ask everything I want.
Well, you're going to New Zealand, right? just told us.
Yes.
That's brilliant. And as a straight up kind of Lord of the Rings fan, it's pretty thrilling to go to that country.
I am very excited. Yes.
Do you think you might have any time off, long weekends or anything like that?
I honestly have no idea what my schedule is going to be like, but I'm there for so long that I'm hoping that I will have some. I'm sure I'll have weekends.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, go explore.
Yeah, you're fainting.
I'll go to Hobbiton. I'm going to go to all the places.
Oh, you got
to
go.
So we're not allowed to say what it is that you're doing in New Zealand, but you are going to be there for quite a long time.
5 months, yeah.
And you're going to be in Auckland.
Yes.
Based in Auckland, which is a great city.
Fantastic city.
But and you're quite close to Hobbiton then. Not too far. Yeah, just head south. But don't go too far south or you'll end up in the water and then you'll be in the South Island. You will love it. It's such a great country.
You can actually buy maps. This is very kind of deep, geeky culture, but I'm cool with it. You can buy maps of New Zealand, but they replace the modern day cities, and what they do is they show you where the entire production was filmed around the country.
That is so cool.
So based on, you know, where you are, you can be like, oh, well, I'm kind of close to here this weekend, so I could go over here. I think we always say at these kind of conventions that Billy and I have been lucky to do, and people say, I'm going to New Zealand for the first time, what should I absolutely do? We always kind of say, try and get yourself to Queenstown, don't we?
Queenstown, yeah. I mean, we filmed a lot around there. End of the first movie and all that, when Sean Bean tragically dies. That's a spoiler
alert. Right? Yeah. 20 year spoiler alert.
Trying to save us. Mm. But we did all that stuff down, and it's beautiful. It's all mountains, and we learned how to snowboard down there.
Wow.
Not Orlando Bloom, of course. He was getting helicoptered to the tops of mountains and coming down kind of off-piste, I think they call it.
I think that's what he called it, off-piste.
Whereas me, Dom and Elijah were having our first lessons. And to go off a little bit here.
To go off-piste.
Off-piste a little bit. One of the times I laugh most in my life is, have you ever been skiing and snowboarding and all that?
I have not.
Oh,
right.
Goodness.
Well, it's very, very embarrassing if you get a little older and you haven't done it.
Yeah.
And we were all, you know, 30, 20s kind of thing, and taking our first lessons. And the little lift thing that takes you up to the smallest slope, you stick a thing between your legs that's always moving up. And then it kind of drags you up the hill, you know. But it's quite hard to get on.
It's very hard.
That sounds terrifying.
It's really difficult. So Elijah, God bless him, tried about 3 or 4 times and couldn't get on this lift. It kept falling off. And the last time he fell off, he just held on to the thing and got dragged up on his back. That's all
so
the way
good.
Up.
Oh, my
so
God.
I was laughing so hard.
So good.
I couldn't stop, man.
Yeah.
So definitely go to Queenstown and do that.
Queenstown's great because there's a lot that goes on that you see in that film. Like Billy said, obviously, Merry and Pippin, the whole Fellowship breaking up is Queenstown. So you've got Aragorn fighting Lurch, the scary Uruk-hai. You've got Frodo and Sam jumping in the boat. You've got us rowing the boats. You've got
You've
got Boromir trying to take the ring from Frodo.
Yeah, on that hill. Yeah,
you've got the big Uruk-hai fight. There's a lot that goes on there, it's a place called Paradise. My only kind of warning with Paradise, which we got told about on the call sheet, is they have these little sand flies which are barely noticeable, tiny black little flies that just ruin your skin, don't they?
No.
Oh, really itchy things.
Oh, I'm so jealous you're going down there.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's gonna be
are
great.
You ready for the adventure?
I'm ready. I'm terrified, but ready. Yeah, I leave on Sunday.
Wow.
So fun.
Yeah.
Very cool.
God, such a great... Definitely go to Wellington as well.
Mm. Yeah.
You, I know you're sort of east side here.
Yeah.
And Wellington's kind of east side. It's all...
Oh, good to know.
Art and...
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, all the coffee shops have, like, local artist paintings in and stuff. And one day, I'm walking along the street, and it said, King Lear. And it gave an address. And it wasn't a theatre, it was someone's apartment.
That's
and
amazing.
And I went up to the apartment. Was it King Lear or Othello? No, it was King.
Yeah, I think it
King
was
King Lear.
I think it was Lear, yeah.
King Lear, I think. And all the chairs were round this house. And I sat and I watched this.
Wow.
And it was directed and starred Taika.
What?
Yeah.
Waititi?
Totally forgot about it until about a year ago. And he said to me, you saw my King Lear in my apartment.
What the hell?
That's what Wellington is like.
Wow.
Only in New Zealand, that type of stuff.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it brilliant?
That's incredible.
Yeah, I'll send you some info about Wellington, especially because we were based in Wellington and, you know, like, you've got to go to probably Motel, right? And Chow. And
they're probably all closed now, don't
I think Motel and Chow are still around.
Oh, we're going to give you a list of things.
Oh, my God, give me all the things.
Oh, it's great.
List.
Back to Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We're going back.
There's another adventure. So that was filmed in London, right?
Yes. Yeah. Pinewood.
Pinewood?
Yeah.
Had you ever been to England before?
I had been to England, but very briefly. And it, like, I went on a summer abroad, like in college, and I went to Brighton, which is in...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little seaside town.
Yeah. That's where I was studying for a summer. So nice. I'd been to England before.
So all of a sudden then you're going to Pinewood Studios, super famous studio. And how long after having the meeting with the director did that happen?
Very soon.
So it was just like, we want you to do this.
Yeah. So we're actually leaving. My friends that I brought, Caitlin, who you met.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
I was
there. Lovely.
Living with at the time, and I had to essentially move out of my apartment. I was also told that I could not tell anybody, like a single soul. I couldn't tell my parents. I couldn't tell anyone.
Oh. Did you tell Caitlin?
No, I had to lie to her.
No.
So so she watched me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Move out of our apartment, which, by the way, had Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter posters all over the apartment.
Love it.
Nice.
There's actually, we still have the Lord of the Rings posters. There's three of them. The three of us.
What, the three movie posters?
The three movie posters. So Jansey, who's here, and Caitlin. I lived with Jansey for a couple years, and then I lived with Caitlin, and those posters were always around, and now we have this thing where it's like they're kind of always rotating around between
That's
us.
That's brilliant.
That's cool.
But yeah, so at the time I was living with Caitlin and I moved out of that apartment and moved to, and it was very soon after we had that conversation. I had to give my 2 weeks notice for my office job. I was very adamant about that.
Wow.
And then you just said to Caitlin, I'm moving out.
I said, I lied.
I'm moving to Europe.
No, I said, I'm moving. Well, I should have said that. I said, I'm moving to Canada for a small indie movie that I can't talk about right now.
You lied about the country. Why couldn't you just say England?
You know when people are bad at lying so they overcompensate?
Yeah.
That was definitely me.
I'm going to the moon.
Yes.
To a sci-fi
movie. Don't ask about it. Just don't ask about it.
It's important. Someone I
may
can't
the force
just...
be with you.
No,
God.
No, forget that.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. So, sometimes life can get complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Oh,
I mean, it'd be good if there was some sort of, you know, a user's manual that you could flick through the pages and think, oh, I'm feeling a bit down today. What am I supposed to do about that? I didn't sleep well last night. I'm worried about this new job. But it doesn't. Unfortunately,
Life doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal that you feel stuck. And it's nice sometimes to have someone to talk to. Of course, friends and family can do that for you. Yes, you're fantastic for that. But every so often, you might need a professional. Whether you're dealing with a trauma, or maybe you need a little bit of a conversation with someone about some self-empowerment, or maybe some coping skills, you need BetterHelp. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists, available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist.
Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/onion. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/onion.
Star Wars is a very overwhelming experience. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was the most overwhelming experience.
Really?
Oh, for sure. Remember I had that horrible day on set? Remember we talked about it?
Yeah.
The only horrible, truly horrible day I've ever had on set was unfortunately on Star Wars. And I spent more time with Kelly Marie and Billy than anyone else on the set. But on this particular day, which was my first day,
I was doing
a scene with John, Daisy, Anthony Daniels, Jonas, R2-D2, and were you in that scene?
I think maybe. I feel like I was always around
You were around pressing buttons and bleeps and bloops
yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly.
And there's a camera on a crane, 100 feet away, something like that, and I've got this monologue, and JJ just said, obviously just wait for the camera to rest. It's going to wipe past a couple of creatures and aliens and droids, and then it's going to settle in between C-3PO and Chewbacca's shoulders, and then you're going to start. And I was like, right, okay. I've told you this line, right?
Yeah.
Oh. It didn't make it into the film. JJ emailed me a few months later, and he said, we're not using that scene. We're going to have Daisy do the thing instead. And I was like, thank God, because that was my least favorite day on set. But I had to say, and it's weird because I can remember it now, and I couldn't remember it on the day, you can't get to Exegol. You need a supraluminite lodestone star compass attuned to hyperspace vectors.
Oh my God.
And I could not say it. So the camera's coming from 60 feet, 50 feet, 40 feet, 30 feet, and it's resting. And I'm like, okay, got it. And I'm thinking, okay, I got the line. And I go, you can't get to Exegol. X-ray with this, and JJ would be like, no, reset. And the reset would take 4 or 5 minutes because it's droids going backwards and creatures going backwards. And we did this 3 or 4 times. It's fine. I'm starting to, this horrible moment
sweat,
is there to start to feel this little beads of sweat going down your head. Oscar's in the scene with me. Lovely, lovely Oscar. Mm. Oscar put his arm around me. He's like, hey, it's fine. Oh, don't worry about it, because Oscar's been doing it for years on the Star Wars set. He knows. Oh. That you're having a bit of a moment. He's like, it's fine. We'll do it. We'll get it. And I was like, yeah, we'll get it. Tried it again, didn't get it. And then this awful moment where JJ, who I've known for 20 years, came over to me and he went, I can always tell when JJ's getting a little, irked. And JJ came over and he went, it is fine. It's fine. You do need to get it now.
And oh my God.
And I was like, I will. I'll get it. But JJ's basically just saying, this is a huge money set. And if you don't get this in the next 15 to 20 minutes, we have to move on because we've got an afternoon of scenes to do and it's costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars. So he came over and just kind of went, fine, you do need to get it. And I was like, okay, I'll get it. Sweat rolling down my back.
Was that just guys taking off their Wookiee heads and stuff? This fucking guy.
I've never had a day like that
on
set. Terrifying. And then it was done and we did the scene and I got through it, but I was not happy about what I did necessarily. And I went over to Daisy and John and Oscar and I was like, oh God, I'm sorry guys. That was an awful day for me. And they were like, it's fine. And I went over to JJ and I said the same thing. I was like, my bad, man. I think it took 8 or 9 takes instead of 2 or 3. And JJ was like, it's fine. It's great. We'll figure it out. If there's a moment where it doesn't look great, we've got a shot of Daisy and John and Oscar Kelly Marie over there and all these people. Ooh. I was like, okay. And then months later he called me and he went, we've actually given that narrative piece, the super luminite lodestone star compass piece, to Daisy. And I was like, thank God, because I would have been mortified watching you.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah,
and it is like...
And I was jet lagged, and it's Star Wars.
It's scary. Yeah, there is something so overwhelming about being in that space and seeing these characters that people have loved for so long. Yeah. There's just something terrifying
that we've all loved.
Were you a fan before you? I'm going to be honest. I did not grow up on Star Wars. I grew up on...
Had you seen it?
Lord of the Rings.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So wait, had you seen Star Wars, Calamari?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it probably didn't have that same...
Which
heavy...
actually helped me in the auditions, that I didn't have this sort of like reverence for it. And I think it actually helped me to create a character that didn't... For me, like, I felt like I was totally clean slating it. It was like I wasn't trying to be like anyone else.
Absolutely.
Which helped. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Slightly out of the normal kind of ideas of the tropey characters in Star Wars. Yeah. You're in your own lane for sure.
Yeah. I was doing a Chekhov play once and there was a young actor.
Was it the Seagull, darling?
No, it wasn't, darling. It was the Cherry Orchard.
Oh, lovely.
Right on the nose.
Banya.
There's a young actor in it. And he said to the director, I've never seen any Chekhov. I better go and watch something. And the director said, no, don't. Because then you'll bring something new. If you watch, then you're just doing the Cherry Orchard, aren't you? The one that you've seen before. So I think that's really important. Quite smart of the director.
My favorite day on set, since we're talking about the worst one, and it'd be nice to have one that was great,
right,
which I shared with you, Kelly Marie, and Billy, and a few other people, was, do you remember when on that massive set that was kind of the invasion at
Insane.
The end, and they did a huge reset because you had stormtroopers on wires and explosions going on.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so that moment, the reset on that was probably half an hour, and JJ's on the mic like this. And he said, guys, it's going to be half an hour, but we'd really prefer it if you stayed on set. Because if you leave, it's going to take us an hour to get everyone back. And you're going to go eat and you're going to go do this thing. So we're like, yeah, we'll stay. They played Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. And we all had a dance party for half an hour, didn't we?
It was really fun.
Stormtroopers and the Resistance all dancing. So good.
Did you have fun in London?
I really did. I love London. I'm a big theater fan. So being able to just like... live in London and go see theater like you're going to see a movie. Like I would just go by myself and be like, one ticket, please. And I just saw so many shows.
That's great.
So yeah, big.
Where were you based? Where did they put you? What part of town?
I kind of moved around to a bunch of different places, but I really like the east side of London. So I was in Dalston for part of it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We stayed in the Langham for a while, didn't we?
Yeah, we were there for a really long time.
I like that hotel a lot.
Yeah.
And then just going in and watching theater. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Anything stick in your mind, theater-wise, that you saw?
Oh, my goodness. You know what I saw that's actually coming to L.A.? It's coming to the Geffen, but I saw The Inheritance when it was in London. Yeah, and it blew my mind.
Oh, great. We'll go see it.
Yeah, it's coming to the Geffen, like, really soon.
Let's go back to a Lord of the Rings thing. Since you grew up, quote-unquote, on Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
How old were you when that first film came out? Do you know?
Did the first movie come out in 2001?
2001?
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
So how old sixth grade? I don't do grades.
11, 12.
Did you go see it at the cinema?
Yeah.
With your family, with your friends?
Oh, my parents, love my parents. They're just not into...
movies.
They hate Star Wars. They hate sci-fi. They hate fantasy. So I went with my friends. They hate it all, yeah.
And how come you as an 11-year-old knew about Lord of the Rings? Had you read the book? Did you read it at school?
I read The Hobbit. I had a seventh grade teacher. I don't remember what... I had a teacher who was, like, obsessed with J.R.R. Tolkien and just, like, had us... Now that I look back, I'm like, was he able to just create his own curriculum? Because I think he did. Mm-hmm. We read The Hobbit and we, like, had to make our own board games of, like, The Hobbit.
Brilliant.
It was incredible. It was great. Hi, Mr. Farr, if you're listening.
Hi, Mr. Farr.
Hi.
Mr.
Yeah.
We had Stephen Colbert on our show who we... I don't think either one of us were aware of how much of a Tolkien fan he is, especially of the books. I mean, he has high reverence for the books. Yeah. Stephen, subscribes to a podcast in which every week they read one single sentence from Lord of the Rings and then they break it down over the course of an hour. I was like, how long is that podcast going to go on?
That's insane.
Yeah,
he reads some of the book every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Go back and
really?
Read some
he's
of it.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, he's isn't lovely.
He's so yeah. lovely.
He's my favourite. I like him more than Dom, actually. And I like Dom quite a lot.
No, he does. He's a very lovely, wholesome man, yeah. Stephen Colbert.
Really nice guy.
Smart.
So tell us about that.
Funny. He's funny.
Yeah, very funny. Tell us about that cinema experience. Had you read reviews or previews? Did
no.
you go in kind of blind?
I didn't even know that reviews were a thing until I started working in entertainment. Like, I really
until
never
until you
read,
were getting them.
Really, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I should be aware of what people are writing about me. No, yeah, I went in fully blind and I became very obsessed very quickly. Like, I think it was... You know, I grew up on Disney movies and sort of like had a love for, I feel like animated Disney movies are full of magic and like some sort of...
pixie dust.
Yeah, pixie mm-hmm. dust. But Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter were like two of the very big life-changing things in my childhood, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's very cool to be here with
you. Did you have a favorite Hobbit?
Billy, what are you doing?
I'm just asking questions. That's what you're doing, podcast.
But we've been friends for a long time. Do you know what I mean?
I know. But I would guess from her email, which we won't say what it is, I would guess it's maybe not one of us.
I would think it's Sean Astin. Sean Astin is an extremely popular
man.
Hobbit. Well, man and hobbit. I'm obsessed with the Beatles. Both Billy and I are obsessed with the Beatles. Mm-hmm. On these conventions that we've been doing little homages to Beatles albums. And I very quickly selected Sean to be Ringo because Ringo was the most popular Beatle in the United States. He got more fan mail,
wow,
more liked than anyone else, more adorable. Because at these conventions, Sean always has the longest line and he's the most popular, I think.
He's well-loved.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
Samwise.
Sam is so wholesome.
He's so
Samwise
nice.
Samwise Gamgee. Very wholesome.
He doesn't do as much for the Fellowship as Pippin does, but,
well,
you know,
I would say
he's hard worker. He's a hard worker.
I don't know if you remember the movies, but Mary stabs the Witch King, which is the real warrior hobbit moment.
But not to death.
You just
to
knock
be
about with Gandalf for a trilogy.
You just
that's it,
you stab know? Him in the knee, I think.
Yeah, I give him right in the knee so that he drops to the level for Eowyn to stab. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to reach his head. Meanwhile, you're just that kind of knobhead friend that hangs out with a wizard that is like, oh, get away.
And smokes pipe
weed.
Smokes
a lot of pipe
weed. But shouldn't you have stabbed him maybe in the liver or something?
I don't think he could reach. Maybe if I jumped.
Okay.
Someone had mentioned this thing the other day about the idea that if Frodo were to attach the ring, maybe tie it in a lovely kind of ribbon, around a mouse and then keep the mouse in his pocket, surely the mouse would take on board all of the heavy
wow.
pain of the ring. And him and Sam could just stroll along for a couple of years and just drop the mouse in. And I was like, that is profound. Because when Sam picks up Frodo,
yeah.
he doesn't take on that, does he? So, Mr. Trick there, Mr.
But wouldn't you end
Tolkien?
Up with like a golem mouse?
Oh, yeah.
Eating fish and all that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to see that, would you?
No, you definitely wouldn't want to see that.
And then you'd need to drop a mouse into a volcano.
Yeah.
Which is bad luck in a lot of countries.
Is that true? Yeah. 10 years bad luck.
Peeling the onion.
Well, what else? We've got some questions here which we could all do. Should we jump into a question? We could do a riddle. Let's do one riddle.
Are you good at riddles?
Terrible.
It's riddles in the dark.
Riddles in the dark.
Very
come
exciting.
On, Calgary.
All right, well, let's try one.
Do we know the answer?
Oh,
no, well,
fun.
John will know the answers, right?
I'm very much in the mood for a riddle now. So
oh, let's do a riddle.
Give us one.
Here we go. One. Right, I'll read it out. Here's a riddle. From
Marie, I think you're going to get this.
From Adam.
Just clear your mind.
I know, I'm meditating right now.
This is from Adam C. in St. Louis. Is it St. Louis or St. Louis?
Well, it depends if you're singing it or saying it.
Oh.
What would you say, Kelly Marie?
I would
meet me in St. Louis.
Yeah.
St. Louis. Right.
If you're saying, I think you're right. I think if you say, I don't know.
Meet me in St. Louis.
Oh,
I
St.
know
Louis,
that is
then.
A song.
But
Louis,
I think you say
but
St.
I do
Louis,
say St.
John.
Louis.
What would John say? Would you say St. Louis or St. Louis, John?
Is this the riddle?
What was that?
I keep forgetting. I have to press a button today.
Yeah, John,
once I came out here, I started saying St. Louis more. But when I was in Chicago, I'd say St. Louis all the time.
So say you lived in St. Louis. What would you say?
My friend, one of my best friends is from St. Louis, and I think he does say St. Louis.
Right, well, we'll go with that, St. Louis.
And if see, my hand was the United States of America there, Kelly Marie.
Oh,
this being California, New York, and Florida. Where is St. Louis, St. Louis?
Well, she's good in the geography.
It's there.
Right there, right in the very middle
in the
there.
Center. Is that right, John? She's bang on. She's absolutely
right
bang
on.
I did win the geography bee in third grade.
Oh, good
don't
for you.
Brag,
did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Did you win the spelling bee as well?
No, I didn't.
What was it, a geography quiz like capital cities and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Dom knows all the capital cities of all this world.
Do you?
No, but I am pretty good on capital cities. I'm animals, I'm good. Capital cities, I'm not that great.
Jakarta.
Come back to you on that one.
Okay.
Wait, here's a little tip, Kelly Marie. This is actually kind of a Scottish tip, but I'm going to do it on behalf of Billy.
Thank you, Dom.
If you, because, you know, maybe you will be in Britain sometime soon. If you do manage to get yourself to Scotland, it's important to pronounce this city Edinburgh and not, as a lot of people in the United States say, which is Edinburgh. That will make you stand out as if not knowing what you're talking about. It's Edinburgh.
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 There you go. Nailed it.
Wow.
Middlesbrough. Peterborough. It, as soon as an American person says borough, everyone's like, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, we're moving
on.
You can take that in New Zealand as well. I don't know if it's any use down there, but it might be.
I'll just keep saying it in New Zealand and see if I get any.
Lots of Scots people.
Are there actually?
Lots of Scottish people emigrated to New Zealand.
There's a great city right down the bottom of New Zealand called, help me, Dom.
Well, is it Christchurch?
No, it's further south and it has a castle. It's the only city with a castle.
Dunedin.
Dunedin. Well done, Dom. Tremendous knowledge.
I'm good on cities.
Dunedin.
Dunedin
is like a little Scotland. All the cities are Scottish names from Edinburgh.
Mm.
And it's got a castle. It was a Scottish guy who went there. And you should go there as well. It's a brilliant
place.
It is
like a mini Scotland. Rains a lot. Everyone's miserable.
That's something else. That's something else.
I'll check
it out. You can fly down there in a weekend from Auckland.
Is it a very large place?
No, it's a small country.
It's long, though. It's long.
Okay.
From north to south.
If you're driving, because the roads, you know, they keep the countryside pretty legit. The drive from the top of the South Island to the bottom is a good day, right?
Yeah,
or two.
I would think so.
But you can fly down there in an hour.
I'm so excited for you.
Less. Oh, thanks.
I wish I was going. That's so exciting.
Hey, guys, should we get to this riddle?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Right, we got two riddles here, but I'll do the first one from Adam C. in St. Louis. It goes like this. With thieves I consort, with the vilest in short, I am quite at my ease in depravity, yet all divines use me, and savants cannot lose me, for I am the center of gravity. What am I? My God.
Jeez,
Dominic, if
what?
You don't
That's
mind,
heavy, that.
Could you give us that again?
All right, we'll slow it down a little bit. With thieves I consort.
Consort with thieves.
With the vilest in short.
The vilest?
I am quite at my ease in depravity.
Oh, God.
Yet all divines use me.
Divines?
Gods and stuff. Right. And savants cannot lose me. For I am the center of gravity. What am I?
Well, what is it? Let's start from the end, Tom.
Lovely. Yeah, start from the back and go towards the beginning.
Of gravity.
The center of gravity is. What is the center of gravity? Wait.
The sun is the center of gravity.
Wait, I've got it.
What is it?
I've got it.
What is it?
What is the center of gravity?
What is
it? It's the letter V. So read the rest of it.
Wait, no!
It is.
With thieves,
I consort. There's a V in thieves.
There.
With the vilest, in short, starts with a V. I am quite at ease in depravity, has a V in it.
Oh, my God.
Yet all divines use me, and savants cannot lose me, for I am the center of gravity. Johnny!
Wow!
That was the fastest I've ever seen.
That was incredible.
Unbelievable.
A real answer to my life.
Hey.
Wow.
Wow.
We figured that out. Amazing.
Dom, I'm fully impressed right now.
I am very impressed because he's normally a dum-dum.
Stupid.
That was amazing,
yeah.
Dom.
Thanks, yeah. Well, do you want to read out a question and then we'll jump into some tasty business?
Well, yeah. What question would we have?
I don't know. We've got one about nicknames. Do you and your pals have nicknames for each other, Kelly Marie?
I don't think so.
We could talk about the fact that I walked around calling you Kelly Ann for a week. Should tell
yeah,
that story.
We should.
So on set, right, for like the first week or so, I just thought Kelly Ann Tran. It just rolls off the tongue.
That is quite good.
And it's very nice.
Like, Kelly Ann Tran. She's an actress. Kelly Ann Tran. I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of a cool, funky name. So for the first week, you know, like I said, spent a lot of time with Kelly Marie and Billy. Just chatting on set. All right, see you later, Kellyanne. See you later, Kellyanne. I'm going to get a cup of tea, Kellyanne. And then I came on set, and at one point, both JJ and all the other cast kept mentioning Kellyanne's name and then looking at me. So they'd be like, are you good there, Kellyanne? And look at me. And I was like, what have I done? What's going on here? And then eventually, Kelly Marie had to be like, my name is actually Kelly Marie. You've been calling me. But it's just, there's something so...
Kellyanne.
Like actressy about that name, Kellyanne, Kellyanne Tran, Kellyanne
but
Tran.
Kelly Marie, is that family? Why did you get called Kelly Marie?
Yeah, so Marie is actually, I have two sisters and we all have a middle name Marie.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that in honor of like a family member or something?
My mom was really religious, so it's like Mary.
Oh, Mary,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then all three of us have names that start with K. My mom and dad made this deal when they were like about to have children that if it was a girl, it would start with a K because my mom's name starts with a K. My dad's name starts with an L. So we had no L's because there were no boys in our family.
Oh, yeah. Did they tell you what you might have been if you were a boy? Were you going to be like a Lionel?
Actually, I was going to be either Louis or Lewis, depending on how you pronounce that word.
Depending if you're singing
to bring it back. Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Kelly Marie was also a pop star. In the 80s
really?
In Britain.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was just Kelly Marie, so I was hoping that maybe you'd be named after her.
Yeah.
Which would have been brilliant.
Was she a one-hit wonder?
Yeah.
Do you remember the song?
Oh, is there love in the love in the love in the love of you?
Oh, that's a good song.
That kind of trance song.
Have you
Did the Communards cover it? Was it the Communards? Jimmy Somerville covered it. It was either the Communards or Bronski Beat. It might have been Bronski Beat.
You're right, John. That wasn't Kelly Marie.
Was it someone else? Come on, Billy.
Kelly Marie sang a song that whatever the chorus was, everybody used to sing Gammon Roll instead of I'm in Love. Maybe it was that one.
This podcast has got very surreal.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. If John could bring that up just now, I would love him for it. Kelly Marie. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, Kelly Marie from the 1980s.
John will find it, but why don't, Billy, why don't you ask this question from Rob Sutcliffe
in
Manchester in England, where
you
I'm
know
from.
What? I might actually ask the one from Colin C in Orlando.
Oh, but poor Rob now. But that's all right, we'll do both. Go on then.
So Colin C in Orlando, because I thought this might be good for Kelly Marie, because she likes the Lord of the Rings films. From sixth grade.
Oh, this would be a great one for
now, Kelly Marie. Who would you cast if Elijah, Sean, Dom, and Billy were not cast as the four hobbits?
Oh, it's tough one, I know.
And you can cast it from anybody through history, actors or non-actors.
That's messed up.
Who would you cast as the four hobbits?
Well, first I'll say it was perfectly cast and I wouldn't want to change anything.
I would.
Well, we could leave it at that, Kelly.
Why, thank you. And John, that's a wrap.
I would have switched out Pippin. I think Ewan McGregor would have been a great Pippin.
He'd have been a sexy Pippin.
Oh, sexy.
I bet he'd get more close-ups.
He definitely would.
Who would you cast? Who would you choose?
Right, here we go.
It's tough, isn't it?
No?
It's tough.
It's easy. For...
Let's pick one. Pick
Frodo Baggins, Jimmy Durante.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Well, you've got to look him up. It's Samwise Gamgee. Do you know a friend of mine was actually up for Samwise Gamgee
really?
In Scotland? I won't mention his name, but a wonderful actor. And I think it was down to the last two, but I won't mention him as being a...
Was the process super long?
It's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal.
Was your process also like super...
It wasn't.
What?
It was super fast.
Billy was the first person cast in the film.
What do you mean?
Well,
mine was pretty long.
I think they were having difficulty with Mary.
Well, of course, he's a very complicated character.
And they thought, who has got that kind of depth?
Yeah, that je ne sais quoi.
That,
I mean?
That depth of character, but yet the sexual tension.
Yeah, yeah, that energy, that kind of raw physical masculine sexuality.
Where you could take this character right through to the end.
I've ruined my script there. I got so excited.
When he stabs a guy in the knee, when he should have got him in the liver.
It's too small, Billy.
He should have went for the liver.
Yeah,
you should have shouted, I am no man, and stabbed him right through the eye.
Yeah.
That could have been your moment.
Yeah, I could have stolen that from Miranda, actually.
That would have been brilliant.
But go on, yours was very fast. Your casting.
How many auditions?
So, on tape with the casting director, that tape was sent to New Zealand. Pete, and then, like with your Star Wars, I think they were looking all over the world. Mm-hmm. So then Pete went to Los Angeles, New York, Sydney, London.
Wow.
I met him in London with Fran Walsh. We spent about an hour doing scenes. And then basically a week after that, I got a phone call offering me the part.
They're all sat around going to Pete and Frank, what about this guy? What about this guy? What about this guy? And Bill's going, Pete's going, no, we need an idiot. We need an actual, like a legitimate idiot. Someone's whose brain has started to addle over the last few years. Can you think of anyone? And Pete's like, you know what? I've seen a tape. Give me back those tapes. Where's that guy? I remember that idiot.
I've wrote idiot on it.
Yeah.
Dom, it was longer for you?
Mine was longer, yeah. Mine was longer. I had two auditions with the Hubbards, both on tape. And
so
then,
you auditioned together? Like
No. Separate.
What?
Yeah, of course.
You didn't meet until you were
Didn't meet until New Zealand, yeah.
He was working. He was filming in France.
He was doing a show in France. So I was playing a guy who gets his head all shaven off at the end of the show in France. So I went into audition for Lord of the Rings after being punched on the tube, on the underground London, because someone must have thought I was a skinhead or maybe just wanted to punch me anyway. So I didn't have a black eye, but I had kind of a yellow eye. You know, when it goes kind of yellowy purple. Yeah. Skinhead. And I'm auditioning for a generic hobbit role, which was when Gandalf knocks on the door and says to Frodo, you know, be careful with that ring type thing. Keep it secret, keep it safe. Did that twice. And on the second time that I did it, this is good.
I'm so excited.
On the second time that I did it, they were getting all the tape kind of ready. And John Hubbard, the guy who runs the Hubbard casting agency, said, could you just wait for 10, 15 minutes just to make sure that the tape is fine and we've recorded it? We need to rewind it and make sure it's all on tape. I said, yeah, fine. And he said, if you wait another 5 or 10 minutes, we're expecting David Bowie to audition.
Shut
And I was like,
up.
What?
Shut
and he
up,
went,
shut
yeah.
up, shut up, shut
so
up.
So I sat like you with the coffee table book. I sat there with a huge coffee table book, just like, yeah, page 7, page 7. And every time the door opened, I was like, here comes the Thin White Duke. And eventually, eventually he walked in and just kind of went, hello. And I went, hello, David Bowie. And then he went in and I was like, yes. And then walked
out. Are you kidding me? Wait, hold on.
That
he
was
auditioned.
It. He auditioned, I think, for Elrond. I think, right?
Yeah, I think
the Hugo Weaving.
I am shaking.
Yeah. I think for the longest time, people thought that he auditioned for Gandalf, but I don't think it was Gandalf. I think it was Elrond.
Yeah, it'd be an elf, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd need
it'd
to
be an
elf.
But he was wearing like a gun metal suit, kind of shiny looking suit, perfect hair, came in, obviously didn't know me from a hole in the wall, but just kind of said hello. And for me, for the next 20 years of my life, that counted as meeting David Bowie. So I'd be like, I met David Bowie. People were like, he walked through a room that you were sat in. It doesn't really count.
Wow.
And then years later, Elijah and I went to a concert after Rings came out, and I actually did meet him then. And I told him that story.
Did you tell him?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he remember?
Yeah. Well, he didn't remember that thing, but he obviously remembered going in and auditioning for it. Have you seen the new documentary about him?
No, is it good?
It's great. Brilliant.
Wow, I'm sorry. My heart is really beating.
Yeah, no, he's an icon and all that kind of stuff. We didn't really answer the question, did we, who else would play? So you've got, who did you say? Dean Martin's going to be...
Jimmy Durante.
Jimmy Durante is going to be Sam. No idea who that is.
It's brilliant.
Frodo. Maybe a young Paul McCartney.
Lovely. Lovely
right?
choice.
Yeah, I thought so.
Pippin.
Yeah, Pippin. It
has to be Leo.
Yeah, Leo.
I mean, who else?
Yeah, it's a good show. He's got that kind of level of sophistication.
And then who's
to his
got work. The sexual, you know, energy from Mary?
Is it? someone deeply sexual? Is it like a Richard Burton?
Or it could be a Burton.
Like an Oliver Reed, maybe.
Oh, Oliver Reed's too far.
Is that too much?
You've reached too far.
So a deep sexual energy.
A deep sexual energy.
But short, short sexual energy.
Sure. And also,
is it Peter Dinklage after a couple of glasses of wine?
Maybe. Peter Dinklage.
After like half a glass of wine.
You know who I see it as? Olivier.
Oh, Larry.
Wow. Yeah, dear Larry.
Mm, he'd be good, Larry. Yeah. Wow. I think that's great. I think
Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, I think we've nailed it.
Incredible.
Hey, should we eat the world? Because we've run out of time.
Oh, I'd love to, Dom.
Yes.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Billy, it's another segment of our favourite part of the show. Billy and Dom eat the world. And Kelly Marie has brought what I would deem to be a classic chip from the United States. Kelly Marie, it's over to you.
Yes. I brought a variety of different Flamin' Hot Cheetos snacks.
Lovely.
Oh,
lovely.
So Flamin' Hot.
Yes, which I grew up on. And actually, earlier when you said, when you asked if my friends have any nicknames for me, my friend Jansy out there calls me sometimes Talk Talk, which stands for Thug of Cheetos.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm a very big Cheeto fan.
So this was kind of your little happy treat when you were a kid?
Yeah, it was.
Is this something that your parents were okay with you eating? Because probably not that good for you.
It's so not good for you. Yeah, my sisters and I would fight over who got to eat the crumbs in the bag.
The dust. Lovely dust. Is that not for you, Bills? No,
all of a sudden I felt like I'd ate it. And I didn't like it.
Oh, I like them.
Sometimes my dog will do that. He'll go after a bee or something. And then I can see in his eyes when he imagines what that bee would be like in his mouth. And he goes... And that's what I felt like with the sand.
Do you not like spicy?
I don't mind it, but I'm not going to throw the sand from it into my mouth.
I love the dust.
The dust is so good.
Do you eat Takis? You know that? Those?
Yeah, Takis. I do.
I like to crunch them in the bottom and pour that in the mouth as well. Billy's quite opposed to that.
Hey, John. John, have you got any like little plates? Anything that we could put Cheetos on?
I'm going to get you a plate right now.
Thank you, John. You're the most wonderful man.
Isn't he just a saint? Well,
John, what a sweetheart.
In fact, do you know what?
What?
Johnny Clues could play Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, he'd be a lovely Samwise. Wow. Loyal to the end.
And just a wonderful, wonderful man.
Mm, and always walking around with pots and pans on his back as well.
Exactly.
Kelly Marie, do you want to choose which bag we start with?
Are we going to have all of them?
We're going to have all of them for
sure. Okay, then I would start with the classic.
Yeah, the classic.
Let's go classic, John. Thank you very much.
Flamin' Hot Crunchy Cheetos.
We've got what's coined here, an interesting story for an NPR about Cheetos. Should we do it?
Yeah. Right.
I'll read the first half page, and then I'll leave it up to you guys to read the second page.
Cool.
So this is, John organizes all this stuff, so this is interesting in John's mind.
In John's mind.
And then we can see if it is interesting or not.
Mm. Here we go. In the late 1980s, Richard Montanez was a janitor at the Frito-Lay plant. Could you just pour a little few
in
there?
Comes up.
At the Frito-Lay plant in Rancho Cucamonga. To earn some extra money, he would submit ideas to the factory, which was running a sort of contest for new chip flavors. Right. Frito-Lay has not verified this contest ever existed, by the way. Montanez never won, but when stocking chips in a store off the clock, he noticed that the Mexican spices shelf was next to the snacks shelf. Gave him an idea. Why don't we make chips spicy? So he took cues from the similarity in shape between an elote, I think that's right, and a Cheeto, filled a trash bag with cheeseless Cheetos off the production line, took them home, and ultimately invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Then he called up Roger Enrico, the chief executive at Frito-Lay at the time, to pitch his idea. Enrico ate it. Ate it up figuratively, maybe literally too, on the spot, and the rest is history. It's a great story.
It's a great story.
How much of
Dom.
This is true? Continues John.
What?
Enter the Los Angeles Times.
Wait a minute.
In a piece.
Shall we pass this on?
No, we're going to go to the next page.
Oh, is there many muchness?
Oh, there's a lot of muchness.
Wait a minute. So you're saying it might not be true?
Yes. Well, let's see what the New York Times says.
In a piece published
just days after the Planet Money episode aired, the Times claimed that Montanez did not, in fact, invent the snack and that the story is just an urban legend. According to interviews with more than a dozen former Frito-Lay's employees, the archival record, and Frito-Lay itself. In a statement to the Times, Frito-Lay credits Lynn Greenfield, a young MBA and junior employee who was tasked with creating the brand in the late 1980s and Fred Lindsay, a company salesman on the south side of Chicago, for pushing the company into a flavor that category, into a flavor category after noticing spicy snacks from local competitors would just blow off the shelf. Now, I'll leave this next page to the two of you guys.
Wow. Well,
can I eat one?
Please have one, one.
So there was a great story invented it because he wanted it to be like a Mexican snack. Is that right? And he saw that it was next. And then the New York Times came out and said that's not true.
That's not true, but it continues.
Hold on.
Wow, these are so good.
They're very good. These would be your favorite out of the three. Or do you mess with the other ones as well?
So I have not tried these Carolina Reaper ones. I didn't even know they existed, I'm very excited about those.
Can't wait. And then what's the other one that we've got?
Puffs, Flamin' Hot Puffs.
Me and Dom ate a Carolina Reaper a couple of weeks ago.
How are you doing?
I'm still not back to normal.
Really?
Yeah, it's really hot.
Ooh. I took some home and I've been meditating with them in the morning. So take a little slice. And for that 10 minutes that it's hurting, just close your eyes and try and get into it. It gets easier.
Yeah.
When you said you were meditating with them, I thought you all sat in a little circle.
You could do that too.
You and the chilies.
Yeah. This is tasty. Right, come on. Someone needs to do the first half and do the other half.
Are you doing it, Kelly Marie? I'm eating snacks here.
Here we go.
Quintanez himself only began taking credit for inventing Flamin' Hot Cheetos during paid speaking engagements in the 2000s. His claims went viral when the media promoted his feel-good rags-to-riches tale. Mm-hmm. It all went unchecked by Frito-Lay for several years, as most of the executives involved in developing the Flamin' Hot brand had already retired, until 2018.
Oh.
That's when Greenfield heard Montanez's story and contacted corporate. An internal investigation was launched that resulted in no evidence of Montanez's claims. I'm doing a terrible job pronouncing.
You're not, Kelly Marie. It's wonderful. Great story. I'm charmed by your voice.
If that story existed, believe me, we would have heard about it. Ken Lukoska, who worked as a product manager for the core Cheetos brand when Flamin' Hots were rolling out nationally, told The Times, "This guy should run for office if he's that good at fooling everyone." Wow. What a quote to give The Times.
Wow.
The Times further notes that Enrico, the CEO Montanez claims he pitched his creation to, didn't even take over the Frito-Lay brand until early 1991, which is several months after Flamin' Hot Cheetos were already in test markets like Chicago, Houston, and Detroit.
Oh.
But here the story takes a turn again.
Another turn!
In the form of Al Carey, and I will pass it over to you, Bill.
Bills, bring us home. You don't even know where you are, do you?
Well, I was listening. I wasn't reading.
You're in.
Well, stick your finger nearby.
You're right here.
Right about there. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually enjoying these. They're very.
Yeah, they're lovely.
They
actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Carey was division president of Frito-Lay West in 1992 when he says he first met Montanez, who pitched him ideas targeted at the Latino market. Carey has consistently towed the line in claiming that Montanez invented Flamin' Hots and also that they existed before Montanez.
Mm.
So, he says, "I'm sure if you went back into Frito-Lay history, okay, there's probably something in 1990 that was a test market on a spicy product."
We probably didn't need that, okay, did we?
Yeah.
Well, it's in there.
I mean, it's in there, but we probably didn't need it.
According to the Times. Yeah. "I'll be surprised if it was the same ingredient, but it could have been, I guess." Dom, Montanez, in his part, has doubled down on his story.
Wow.
While he did not participate in the LA Times investigation, he spoke with Variety, saying, "All I can tell you is what I did. All I have is my history, what I did in my kitchen."
What a lovely quote.
That's
Bring
beautiful.
Us home, Dom.
Really?
Bring us home.
In an opinion column published today in the Times, Gustavo Arellano, who wrote about Montanez's story back in a 2012 book, offered his take on the situation. Gustavo said, "I understand why people are rallying behind Montanez. The truth hurts, for one, and their frustration over Sam Dean's article isn't so much about Montanez rather than a microcosm of two big issues that continue to plague Mexicans in the United States, historical erasure and the continued yearning for heroes that white America can also embrace." Wow. Will we ever have the full story, the full truth of the story? Probably not. But honestly, it's the myth we enjoy more anyway.
Wow. So
no one really knows who invented the Flamin' Hot Cheeto.
If anyone ever asks me, Dom, I will say it was Montañez.
Mm.
I like that story.
Me too.
That he took his history
and his
culture and he said, I'm going to make something and I like that. So I'm going with that story.
I like that too. It's a nice story. Hey, should we open another bag? Yeah. Because I like the OGs.
Right. I'm loving them.
Now we're going to eat puffs.
Yes. So these...
They're just puffier.
This is how I feel about them. I'm excited for you to try them. Different texture.
Okay.
Not as crunchy.
Puffier.
A lot more air. Yes. Mm. But also because of the air, I think, the density of the... Wow, I really love these. The density of the product is different and therefore the spice is like at a higher rate.
Oh, nice.
So these feel more spicy than the crunchy ones.
And would you say better or not as good as the original?
Kelly Marie prefers.
I would say... Mm-hmm. That I enjoy the crunchy texture, but every once in a while, it's like a little change, you know? It's like, well, I'll have some of this.
Okay, so you might choose this over the original sometimes, but not always.
Yeah.
Now, the look of it is like a darker Watsit, Dom.
It's like a dark Watsit, yeah. We have, do you know Watsits out of Britain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. William, will you be mother?
I love a Watsit, Dom.
I like a Watsit.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Oh, they're whoppers, actually.
Yeah, they're absolute crackers.
Kelly Marie... Would you pair these with anything? Do you dip these in anything or do they go with a soda or anything like that?
So I don't dip these. Mm-hmm. I also think they're hard to do with soda just because of how spicy they are. It just sort of, I don't know, makes it taste weird, the soda, I guess. Do you like these? How do you feel about the texture? Different, right?
You're right, they're spicier because the spice is all over the top of them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like the texture because it's more like a Watsit.
Mm-hmm. I like them.
So I might like these better.
Oh.
Kelly Marie, you've been eating these for what, 20 years or so?
Yeah. Very long time.
I get the feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the feeling that they could create quite a funk in your mouth.
In your mouth?
Really?
Like if you went about your day and didn't brush your teeth the next 4 or 5 hours and then tried to stick your tongue down someone's throat.
They're not good for you. I used to read articles about how people got sent to the hospital from eating too many. Like, this is an actual thing. There was like
How many would you need to eat?
You'd have to eat a lot. I mean, I have to give myself limits.
I really, really like those
Takis.
Takis
are so good.
Then I went online to read about if they're good and or bad for you, and they're not that good, and then I stopped eating them. Mm. But I really like them.
I like these better.
You like them better?
Mm-hmm. I think I still prefer the OG ones, but these are tasty.
Right, let's go crazy. Let's go Carolina Reaper.
So these are the ones I will honestly say I've never tried. Didn't even know they existed. John said, I don't know if he was kidding, but he said he went to 30 Ralph's. So
wow.
A lot of Ralphs.
Yeah, that is a lot of Ralphs. Billy, are you going to get a flashback? Because the last time you had a Carolina Reaper, you got hot hiccups and they look very painful.
I got hot hiccups and then after that, I got a cramp like you wouldn't believe.
A cramp?
Yeah, in my stomach.
Oh, no.
The guy who made the Carolina Reaper said that you might get that. And then I thought, I don't think I will, but I did.
Will you be mother? Kelly Marie, you've got siblings, right?
I've got two sisters.
More. Oh, God, that's a lot now.
One older, one younger.
Do your sisters enjoy these, or is this just a thing for you?
Oh, yeah. This is like a big... Every time... My sisters were actually here this weekend because I'm leaving for 5 months, and we just ate... You know what? I'll show you a picture. We had so many bags of chips, and all we did was watch Lord of the Rings and eat chips.
Wow.
Brilliant.
What a fun weekend.
Incredible. Look.
I would do that.
Not that hot. Nowhere.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cute?
That's a brilliant picture.
It's a lot of chips, right?
Yeah.
The picture is Kelly Marie with her two sisters and, honestly, 20 bags of chips.
Brilliant. Hey, nowhere near as hot as an actual Carolina Reaper.
And a strange flavour.
Ooh.
It's like a barbecue or the... It's nothing
I don't like
do.
That at all.
No. I don't know if you've ever had a Carolina Reaper, but it doesn't taste like that.
No.
Really?
It's a strange taste, the Carolina Reaper, because obviously there's... a flavor, but the overwhelming feeling of eating a Carolina Reaper is this body sensation. It's like the flavor and the taste goes out the window, doesn't it? It's like your whole body starts to have a reaction to it.
Yeah.
And that is the feeling of eating it. It's
you just start sweating immediately or
I didn't really sweat.
I got the hiccups really bad.
I got hot teeth. My teeth felt like they were like roasting hot to touch, which they obviously weren't. Hot mouth, hot throat, everything kind of hot.
And did you have just a tiny bite of it?
Yeah.
Just a bite.
I bit down to the seeds.
No, I don't think he did have the seeds.
I had the seeds, you know, that's the hottest part.
No,
he didn't do that.
I don't think he did do that.
He just sits in a circle and meditates.
Meditates with the seeds.
Occasionally they'll go to a yoga class together.
No, he claimed that he had the seeds, but when I looked at the bite that he took, there was no evidence that he took the seeds. I don't think he did have the seeds.
Hey, I don't like them.
Yeah, these Reaper ones are too sweet. I don't
definitely
know
not. As good as the other two. Well, should we give him some scores? Kelly, we'll actually give these things scores in three different categories. William, it's over to you.
First category
is taste or flavour. After that, we're going to do aesthetics. How does it look?
Mm.
And the third one is how useful are they?
Mm.
Oh, useful.
Mm-hmm.
Taste. Now, are we doing bills? Are we doing like an overall Flaming Hot Cheetos
thing?
I think we do. General.
I think kind of pick your favourite. You don't have to say which one it is, but you give the scores on that one.
Lovely.
Great. Taste. I think it's going to be high for Kelly Marie. I really
do. Oh, it's going to be high. I'm going to get some more of the OG ones.
Right, ready?
And it's out of 10?
It's out of, what is it?
10?
10.
Yeah.
And,
thank you.
And the originals. Cool. And you can use decimals if you feel like it's not a 4 or a 5, it's a 4.6. You're allowed to do that.
Taste 10.
Wow, that's a bang on
ten. Would you say it's your all time favorite snack?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Really?
Hands down.
Wow.
So you're a savory person, not a sweet person necessarily.
Oh, I don't eat dessert. I will after dinner. I'll save room for chips.
Wow.
You got to get a little crunch in every meal, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Flavor for my favorite, which is the OG Flamin' Hot Cheeto. It's great. I like a hot chip. I'm giving it an 8.
Nice.
That's good. Yeah, I think the flavour is much better than I thought they were. I didn't think I liked them, but I do like them. So I'll give it an 8 as well, Dom.
Lovely.
Wow.
How does it look to you?
It looks crazy, doesn't
really?
It?
Really?
It looks, okay, I will say, it's obviously very nostalgic for me because I grew up eating them. But if we're looking at these from a place of like, if I saw this just randomly in the world, I think I'd be like, that does not look like food.
Mm-hmm. Yep, does not look healthy.
No, it doesn't look like food.
Looks full of chemicals.
Absolutely.
And I would guess little kids probably get their mouths all stained with it and the fingers and stuff like that and the tongue maybe.
Mm-hmm. So I usually eat these with chopsticks.
Oh.
Do you really?
To keep yourself
all fresh.
Yeah,
so you don't have the red fingers.
How fancy pants on the telly.
Sorry, I didn't bring any chopsticks today.
No, it's all right. I kind of like the look. It's in a unique original look.
Mm-hmm. Looks as if they're on fire, doesn't it?
It's a 7 to me. I'm giving it a 7.
Did you give it a score?
No.
All right, not yet. I'll go then. I'm going to go the original. It's a funny shape, is it? What is the shape about? I like the colour, though. It does look like it's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give that 7.5.
Lovely.
Wow.
I mean, you might think that you could think that the factory making these would be all the offshoots that didn't quite work.
Yeah,
out.
Didn't quite work.
They're like, oh, it's a weird shape. But they've actually embraced the fact that the shape is peculiar.
You know what? I actually, now that I'm looking at the original, I think the puffs are actually prettier to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'd give the puffs a 9.
Oh, wow.
And high scores.
Yeah, I know. And the original, I'd probably give it an 8.
And what do you think's most attractive? The puff one here or the original, what's the English one called we were just talking about?
What's it?
A what's it?
Oh.
Because I like the look of a what's it.
They're thinner, aren't they?
No, they're basically the same, but a more orange.
Well, they're more cheesy what's it, whereas these are more kind of hot.
Yeah.
I like a what's it better.
Yeah?
Now, last one, Kelly Marie. How useful are they?
How useful is it, Kelly Marie? Sell us on this.
These are,
what
you've
can
got
we do?
These are not useful at all.
They're in your. You're in. Some friends have arrived at your apartment.
Yeah.
Your friends are outside there.
Yeah.
Unannounced.
Oh, we're hungry, they say, but not just for chips. And you, and you go into your cupboard and there's not much there, and you go in your fridge. You've got a packet of them. You've got some self-raising flour, a couple of eggs, a half pint of milk.
It's always the same with you.
No, hold on.
It's always eggs and flour.
Some bits of chocolate just left over from like a bar.
Mm.
And is it useful? Is there something you can do with it?
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely feed them to my friends.
Just as they are?
Just as they are.
Yeah, can we do anything else with you? I mean, you can't really make
can't
cake
really,
out of it,
you
can
can't
you?
Really do anything.
Can you
well,
crush
you know
them
what?
Down
okay.
and put
so
it in
people,
soup?
So people,
right.
There's now hot Cheeto mac and cheese, which is actually very good. You can make a mac and cheese and crush like crunchy hot Cheetos on top.
Ooh, that's yeah, that's nice.
And I mean, then people are like, Kelly Marie, you are a magician in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you use that flavoring and throw it around into popcorn? And now you've got Flaming Hot Cheetos popcorn.
Yeah, actually, they do make Flaming Hot Cheetos popcorn. It's very good.
Uh-huh. So there's a few things
I feel like
does.
You can scatter it on top of things. Like,
oh,
like
absolutely.
That. Like, would you put it, like, maybe on a chicken?
On a chicken?
A chicken breast, for instance.
That's a big swing.
That's a big...
If it's going in the oven anyway,
you know what
you've got
I've
some
seen?
Mozzarella on there.
I have seen Flamin' Hot Cheeto, like chicken fingers, like fried chicken fingers, and they put... See? I haven't tried those yet, so I can't say.
So I think they're maybe more useful than you would think.
It's portable. I always think, can you take it to a football match and give it out to the players at halftime? You absolutely can. You can be like, hey guys, you feel a little depleted? Have a few handfuls of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Kids love them, right? Kids love them.
Kids love them.
Car trips, road driving. Yeah, I think we're pushing up there.
Yep, I'm seeing they're quite useful. Can I give it a score?
Please, William, yeah. I'd love that.
I'm going to give it a 9.2 for useful.
Wow.
I think they're useful.
Wow.
It's one of them things that if you had it in your cupboard at home and someone arrived unannounced, you'd be like, I don't really have anything, but I do have some Flaming Hot Cheetos for you. So I'm going to say the same. I'm going to give it a 9.2. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Wow, I really undersold the usefulness. I love these.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to give it a 10. What the heck?
Whoa.
10 for being what the useful. Heck?
So the scores from Kelly Marie there was a 9, 9, 10. That's
10, 9, 10.
Or was it 10,
oh,
9,
flavor
10.
Was 10.
Wow. Amazing.
As we have mentioned today on the Friendship Onion, Kelly Marie here, whose name came from, well, just listen back and you'll know. But I thought maybe she was named after the 80s pop sensation, Kelly Marie, whose song we have now on Is It Funky For You? Let's have a listen to Kelly Marie.
There we go. Just take you back to your nightclubbing days.
My head is in a spin, my feet don't touch the ground.
Yeah.
Because you're near to me, my head goes round and round. My knees are shaking, baby.
This is a jam.
My heart, it beats like a drum.
Woo-hoo! I could just see you on the dance floor in a disco in the 80s, Bills. Yeah.
What is this move? Yes.
That's my jiggle.
Yeah.
I love it.
Kelly Marie feels like I'm in love. Now, come on. We scored this in quite a difficult way, Kelly Marie.
Yeah.
You might not like this. We scored this in How Funky Is It For You? On a score range of not very funky.
Brahms.
To as funky as you can get.
Prince.
So you can score it.
Anything in between.
Hard.
Like, say, for instance, I would score that as Earth, Wind and Fire.
Oh, I was very close to what I was going to say. I was going to say Boney M. A Boney M level of funk.
Boney M, another good...
What's Boney M?
Boney M did... What's the most famous track, Boney M? Down by the riverside. Oh, brown girl in the ring. Tra-la-la-la-la. There's a brown girl in the ring. Tra-la-la-la-la-la. Yeah, I can.
Do you remember that?
No, that song.
No.
And something else that they did. Anyway.
Did a lot of stuff, Boney M. They were very good. Very
kind of slightly 70s cosmic funk. Hang on, here's John.
Very interesting fact. This was written for Elvis Presley originally.
What?
Really? The Pelvis?
Yes, but unfortunately when he died, they obviously couldn't have him record it.
Yeah, it'd be difficult. It'd be more difficult.
Yeah. So it says the producer, Barry Murray, was about to send it to Elvis when he got a phone call saying Elvis had died.
It's
after that, he kind of put it to bed for a while. Kelly Marie had a few minor hits in France, was hanging around the office, thought she had a good voice, and he said,
wow.
She was just hanging around the office?
It's like one of your stories, that hanging around the office and suddenly you're in Star Wars.
Went in at lunchtime, they said, could you sing this? She said, yeah. Put in a boop-boo, and we're good to go.
Hey, I tell you what, Elvis wouldn't have had the boop-boo. He wouldn't have been to that.
You wouldn't have.
My hands are shaking, baby. My hands are shaking like a drum. And they go, what is that? No. Don't give me any of that bullshit. cut out the bubble. I'm not in the bubble. All right. So you've got to give us a score. From Brahms, no funk,
From
to
Brahms
Purple Prince.
To Prince.
Super Prince funky.
Man, what's in between? Okay, I have a confession for you. I don't really listen to any cool music.
It doesn't matter.
Well, are you a podcast
person?
Well,
but that guy that he says he met and he didn't really meet, he just walked through a room.
Yeah, that was sad. I'm just kidding.
Well,
Bowie.
Yeah. And then Bowie's pretty funky.
I've always thought it was David Bowie.
Could be Bowie or Bowie, I think.
Well, I had this argument with my son and he said Bowie. I said Bowie. He looked it up and Bowie said it's Bowie. So it's definitely Bowie. Because if Bowie says it's Bowie, it's definitely Bowie.
I asked his son, I did a film with his son, Duncan Jones, and I said to him at dinner, I said, is it Bowie like Snowy or is it Bowie like Bowie?
And what did he say?
He said it's Bowie like Snowy.
And did you say, is it Jones like Bones?
Or is it Jonas? Yeah, it's a great film, that Moon Age Daydream thing. It's worth watching. It's an interesting film because it's obviously a biopic. You're exploring someone's life, but it doesn't do it. I was saying to Bills, it doesn't do it in the same way that we've come to kind of expect, which is like they were born here. This is what their parents did. This is how they got into music. It doesn't do that at all with this. It's just like, here are some examples as to why this artist was so incredible. So it's much more like an art piece, like slightly experimental cinema. I loved it.
That reminds me of one thing I forgot to ask you. You've had tons of work and done lots of great stuff and your voiceover stuff and you're off to New Zealand to do your new thing. But I read somewhere about something. Is it a documentary about Domino tipping? What is that?
Oh, Domino rallying.
Oh my God. It's this documentary called Lily Topples the World. And it's, have you seen Lily's YouTube videos?
No. Who's Lily?
The most incredible, her entire existence is just loving dominoes. And she has created an empire where she like builds these insane domino structures. Like tens of thousands of dominoes.
Right.
And like videotapes them. And she has like...
Has she got a massive house
or something? She's like billions.
Where's she doing it? Because you need a ton of space, don't you?
Yeah. So she gets hired to do a bunch of them now.
But does she knock them down? Is it one of those things?
Yeah. So you can watch on YouTube.
So at the end? She always knocks them down. Mm-hmm. And did you narrate it?
No. I just executive produced it. Yeah.
Oh, you're a producer.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, when does that come out?
Or is it's out. It's out.
What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Lily Topples the World.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, what's that? In Britain, we call that domino rallying, don't we? But do you guys not call it domino rallying?
I didn't know we called it that.
Domino rally.
Didn't know it had a name.
I didn't know that either.
So we definitely need to see that. That's brilliant.
Yeah,
and then you're off to New Zealand. What are you going to watch on the flight? Lord of the Rings?
Maybe, yeah.
Have you got a favorite hobby?
Do you think that's offered on the
plane
still?
Sam Wise.
Just ask Sam. Well, she's not Sam.
Yeah, Sam. Well, Kelly Marie, it's been great to have you. Have an amazing time in New Zealand.
Thank
Please get
you.
In touch if there's something, if you're in a certain city and you're like, hey, any ideas? Like, we're not as good as we used to be, but we're still kind of okay.
I think we're
New
still
Zealand
all right.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That'd
be
good names of a couple of restaurants and some people, some friends.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's so great.
Wow.
I'm so excited for
Have an amazing time.
Thank you, friends.
Bills, we've run out of time. Hey, everyone, get in touch with us if you want.
What, you don't put that powder in your eyes?
The flaming hot Cheeto stuff in
Careful
my eyes.
There.
How can they get in touch with us? Well, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to your podcast. And then it's The Friendship Onion on our YouTube channel.
Yep, if you want merchandise, it's thefriendshiponionpodcast.com. If we've got in here, we'll give it to you
so that you
can wear it proudly in New Zealand.
Yes!
And if you want to send a voice message, it's speakpipe.com/thefriendshiponion.
Thanks again, Kelly Marie.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful having
you.
Marie, and we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Toodles.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.